If you want to check us out on all of our social media platforms, on Twitter at Tinfoil Hat Cast,
on Instagram at Tinfoil Hat Pod,
or allcomedytshirts.com.
Email us at tinfoilhatpod@gmail.com.
Foil hat.
Global controls will have to be imposed, and a world governing body will be created to enforce them.
Welcome to Tinfoil Hat. We go deep, homeboy. Eric, open your mind. Drink from the fountain of knowledge. There's lizard people everywhere. That's some interdimensional shit. Wake up, Eric.
Dude,
you just blew my mind.
Yes, and welcome to another episode of Tinfoil Hat. As always, joining me, my partner in crime. Can you hear me? Because I can't hear. There we go. I can hear me. My partner in crime, my good friend, or off the grid, Ryan Davis.
Living, loving, still redhead.
Excited. Aaron's in his cage where he should be with his ears covered because he doesn't want to hear any of the truth. And we got to get you out to a live event. And just have you sit there and just explain to the masses why you refuse to see the truth.
I mean, I was at the Ice House. I was not asked my opinion.
Okay.
That was the first.
That was the first. We were figuring it out. Now we got to figure it out. You're going to be a part of it.
Are you going to come to the next one?
Yeah, I'll come to the belly room.
You know what's so great? Oh, yes. We need you there. It would be so great if Ryan was like the heel of like pro wrestling, come out in just like little pink like Speedo short shorts, and everyone's booing him. Boo, boo, boo. He's censorship. Guys, if you want to see us live, we got so many dates coming up. We're going to give you the next one. September 5th. You just heard it now. Yes. Yes, he will be joining us live on stage. Aaron will be at the Tinfoil Hat Comedy Night podcast off the grid. We got Eddie Bravo. We got Theo Vaughn. Oh. And now we also have Aaron. Aaron will be joining us. And then the 14th and 15th, we are proud to announce Tinfoil Hat going international. We will be at Niagara Falls, Canada, on the other side of Niagara Falls. Mm-hmm. There's the American side, and then there's the Canadian side. And the thing that's funny, it's that border is kind of like San Diego, Tijuana. Like, San Diego's nice. Tijuana is like a fucking shithole. Niagara Falls, U.S., Niagara Falls, Canada. Not Niagara Falls, U.S. is not a shithole. I was born there. My family lives there. But, like, the other side is just so bright and clean and just nice. So we're going to be there September 14th, 15th. Go to the cornercomedyclub.com. Let me make sure I got that right.
Yep, that's it.
Thecornercomedyclub.com. Grab your tickets now. I've been told they are moving. Grab them now while we can.
It's t-shirts at allcomedytshirts.com. Don't forget, all the new designs are coming. And you know what? We're only three away from the 500 on the Patreon. So that's right. If we're at 500 come September 1st, I will be a furry for life.
For life. He's going to go as Platypus. Platypus. Now, enough with the business. Let's get into the real stuff. Let's go deep. Join us via the power of Skype, and it took us a half an hour to get him to get Skype on his Atari or ColecoVision, whatever he's using out there. But he is live. He is from the Tim Dillon Going to Hell. Ray Comp, everybody. Welcome, buddy.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
No, we're glad you're here. You were awesome on the live show. So we decided to bring you back. And, you know, we're super excited. What's new, dude? You got any dates coming out? Anything interesting?
No big dates. People can check out my Instagram, at Ray Comp. I'm putting a lot more content on that. And I got some... You know, I got some stuff in the works, new website coming out, but it's not ready yet. So just check out Tim Dillon's Going to Hell, and that's the best thing to do.
Do you gig a lot in New York? Are you up a lot? Do you get up a lot?
Yeah, like bar shows. I'm not really doing a lot of like road work or club work, but you know, I get around.
You do get around. That's one thing they've always said about you, man. That guy Rick, yeah. He gets around, dude. He gets around. So what? You know, this has been a big episode. You wanted to do. Ryan, what do you guys want to talk about? What are we going to get into?
Well, I thought something was interesting. Me and Ray were kindred spirits. At the live show in New York, we found out that both of us are Eagle Scouts.
It's so weird. You guys are like your own secret society.
We are, man. And there's a secret society within the Eagle Scouts.
Oh, within the Eagle Scouts, within there's the Boy more secrets. Scouts.
Yeah, it's called the Order of the Arrow.
Talk to me about that.
So, Ray, tell me about your... When did you get... Yeah, what was your Eagle Scout project, man? What'd you do for
My Eagle Scout project was called the Vial of Life program. So, basically, the idea was that, you know, if you're an old person and, you know, you're fucking... you got diabetes, you got some kind of fucking shit in your liver. You know, the paramedic's not going to know that when you call 911. So they're going to fucking give you epinephrine or some fucking shot, and you're going to fucking get killed. So the idea is that you fucking take this fucking your medical information on a slip, you put it in this tube, and that goes in your fridge, and we gave you a sticker. So we go around to all these old people, and we gave them these little packets that I had, like, you know, with the fucking bottles and the tubes. And, like, we got Pepsi to donate the fucking uninflated 2-liter bottles of soda. So we fucking, that was what the tube was. And we just fucking made it. Yeah, my dad printed out the fucking stickers. It was kind of a bullshit project. But the fucking, so we went to all, we went all around my town to all these old people. And we fucking, they don't know we were trying to take their organs. They were confused. But we calmed them down. We fucking convinced them, like, hey, you're going to fucking die if you don't have this. You need to fucking put this in your fridge, put this sticker on your door, or so your fucking, the paramedic's going to fucking kill you. And they fucking did. Everyone went along with it. And it was great. And the Eagle Scout board thought it was great. I never went to the fire department and told them about this. You know, the fucking EMTs. So fucking, like, at my court of honor, like, they bring the fire department guy down to fucking, you know, give me some fucking plaque, you know, some fucking, you're a great citizen. And, like, he whispers to, like, my scoutmaster, you know, we never told us about this. Like, we have no idea what this means. So I think a lot of old people died because of my project.
Shit. Oh, well, hey, see, this is why I told Sam, I was like, I got a good guess for you. He's already laughing. Hey, were you all the way from the beginning? Were you like a Boy Scout, like a Cub Scout?
I was a Tiger Cub.
Oh, my God.
Cub Scout. I got my Arrow of Light, you know, all that shit. I got the little pins. I won the Pinewood Derby. I'm a real motherfucker.
You won the Pinewood Derby. That's amazing.
So are you in the order?
My dad, I don't know if he cheated, but he used to buy these prefab fucking Pinewood Derby cars. Because the Pinewood Derby gave you a block, like a big block of wood.
Yeah, I used to love that.
Yeah, it was great. And all these other kids had these big boxy cars that, like, were fucking just going down. And this guy, he was into, like, fucking NASCAR or something back in the day. He used to do, like, RC cars. So he fucking gets all these ball bearings and these weights, and he weights down the car, like, aerodynamically. And he bought, like, a pre-cut fucking thing. And so we won. And, like, but I felt like a fucking fraud. But whatever. What are you gonna do?
Now, what do you get when you win that pine card thing? I mean, I always wanted to win. I never won. I was so upset. It was so much fun. I used to love that. Every year, I'd look forward to that. Just building, whittling my car, putting my wheels on, painting it. And then they go, okay, you got to get these weights. You got to put it, but the car can't weigh too much. So how do you get around that?
You have your dad cheat for you. Like, you fucking, he literally goes to the hobby store and buy. It looks like an F1 car, like a fucking like an Indy car. And like people thought we carved it. People thought my dad's a CPA, he's a fucking accountant. He doesn't like carve wood. He's fucking like, oh yeah, we fucking made this at home. It's like he knows mathematics. He knows how to fucking put a weight on something. We're complete frauds. Like, what they give you is a fucking nice trophy to fucking monument my shame.
Do you feel like you should make some amends, everybody, because you
stolen valor?
Yeah, you stole some honor or valor or whatever.
I feel like I did some stolen valor. I should fucking, you know, give.
Why don't
back
you do that right here
scouts?
On the show? Just talk to some of the people real quick and just make a quick you know amends to everybody.
Pull up the podium.
Yeah.
Look, I know, you know, you're sitting there at home and you're fucking thinking about the days when, like, you know, while you're taking that Vicodin or that fucking Oxy, you're thinking that things could have gone better if you just fucking won something in your life. And I ripped that away from you. And I'm sorry, but my dad convinced me that winning was all that matters. And that's why I fucking didn't go to college.
Oh, shit. Well, this whole got me started thinking, I wonder how many former Eagle Scouts listen to us. So if you guys are an Eagle Scout and you listen to Tinfoil Hat, send me a picture of you getting your award, or you and your outfit, or maybe your sexy girlfriend in your outfit nowadays. That will work too.
Send a video of yourself doing the eagle call. You
know, what is the eagle call? I gotta hear
like
this.
Men.
Do you guys do that together? Do you guys have a handshake?
Thing. No, it's not official. It's something I invented. I brought it up to my scoutmaster. He did not like it. He did not approve of it. But, you know, fuck it. I'm an adult. I'm still – Eagle Scout's the only thing. When you're an adult, you're still an Eagle Scout.
So how come you guys don't help younger Eagle Scouts? How come you're not helping the younger Eagle Scouts?
What do you think about
– you know, I don't know if I'm the best role model for them. I mean, I've done some things in my life that are positive, but, you know, I don't really represent the archetype you think of when you see, like, a nice – trim Boy Scout with his lapels and his sash. You know, I'm just, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life.
And, you know, whenever I would tell people that I was in Scouts, they'd be like, so you were molested. It's just like assumed.
Yeah, I assumed that. Even before I knew you were an Eagle Scout, I assumed you got molested.
Jesus.
I was never touched. I did have one friend. I was easily led, I guess, for a while. And when I was like a younger scout, we went to a camp, and I thought he was the coolest kid ever. We went to Boston, and he bought a fucking switchblade. And then like we went to camp, and he would carry around these hatchets, and he was just fucking – and he was like holding him up to the kid. Like he woke his kid up, and he was like, I'm going to fucking kill you. And like the kid was just so scared. And I thought it was hilarious. But it turned out that guy like was harassing the kid, and like he got kicked out of school. And like I was just like watching it like some fucking good German, just fucking enjoying it. I feel really bad about that.
Well, like a good German.
Well, this is something few people know. I mean, what was the morgue like, man? Want to tell us a little bit about post-Scouts career?
It was my favorite. I mean, I got into it. I did photography for a bunch of years, like wedding photography, bar mitzvahs, sweet 16s. And I finally got a job with the morgue doing autopsy photography.
Oh, which is my God.
My favorite job in the whole world. I mean, I miss it to this day. It was great. I mean, like, we photographed the bodies when they came in. I had to fingerprint them when they came in.
Oh, my God.
Which is a whole. Yeah, you had to do a whole lot of, like, weird positioning. Like, because, you know, the bodies were in rigor, so you have to, like, bend their arms and shit.
Oh, my God.
You can see on the Skype thing. But, like, if you bend the arm like that and then, like, spread the hands out, like, you can kind of – because in the other hand, you have a fucking thing. You're holding it, and you're fucking grabbing an old man's hand and, like, pressing ink into it. And then, you know, whatever. But I was also, like, you know, I was milking intestines. I was holding brains in my hands.
What do you mean you were milking intestines? What does that mean?
All right, so basically, like – they have to do toxicology tests, you know, if I can, it wasn't really my job, but they let me do it a few times. It was basically like, you know, they open the body up, they start cutting the organs out, and then they fucking, you know, your long intestine is a very long, like snaky kind of fucking thing. So you have to kind of, like, the way you kind of like a cake and you're icing a cake, you do that kind of motion with it, you know, you're fucking like pulling down on it all the way across like a 30-foot tube until all this shit, and we would empty the shit into a deli container. You know, like you put potato salad in when you get like a pound of potato salad, and that's where all the shit would go into. And they would go upstairs to the toxicology department, and they would like, you know, see if you had fucking, I don't know, citric acid or fucking vitamins in your shit.
Hey, did you get to wear those, put on that stuff under your nose so you didn't smell anything?
That's horse shit. That's what the fucking cops would do. The stupid homicide cops, these fucking bald fucking hacks, they would come in and they would fucking rub fucking Visine on their fucking under their nose. And like, you know, when the decomp came in, cause look, decomp smell like the worst thing ever. They're like citrus and shit and piss and like everything mixed together. It's bad, but they're fucking rubbing it in their fucking nose like assholes. And like, and the doctors laughing at them because like you put that Visine, like, it lasts for 2 minutes and then it dilates your nostrils. So it's even worse.
So they don't have something they can put in their nose that stops the smell?
It's called cocaine. Look, it increases smell.
I wish. No, there's nothing there. No, like, look, you get used to it kind of. I mean, if you get too close, you'll throw up. Like, if you just breathe it all in, you'll vomit. Because it's just like, it's just decay. And like, it's like rotten meat and garbage and piss and blood and cum. It's fun. But like, it's all like, you get, you, it's part of the whole fucking milieu of it all, you know?
No, I don't know.
And we've become so removed from death. Like, when was the last time you saw a dead body, Sam?
I haven't seen, I mean, like, I don't know the last funeral I went to, which was Dana's sister, Gail.
I mean, it's so crazy to think we all die, but so few of us ever see that end
process.
You know
what's so weird? There's so many of us. And for the most part, unless it's like some shit third world country, each death is such a giant deal.
Yeah.
And I obviously, as it should be, but think about that. There's 6 billion of us. If one of us murders another one of us, that is a giant deal. Hmm. Just think about that.
My buddy came outside and he was like, hey, Prince died. And I went, yes. And he's like, that was the weirdest reaction to a death. And I was like, now I know that Prince is out there and we all have a piece of him in us.
Yeah, you're a crazy person.
You don't think
Who do you think milked Prince's intestine?
Oh, shit.
Dude, is there any normal Eagle Scouts out there? Is there like a guy who's like, hey, dude, I got an Eagle Scout. Now I sell insurance for Mutual of Omaha and I'm just chilling out.
Steven Spielberg.
Yeah,
Spielberg.
Every Apollo astronaut was an Eagle Scout.
So there's not a normal one. Is that what you're telling me? They're all crazy people.
Bill Clinton.
Yes, they're all maniacs. Yeah.
Bill Clinton was an Eagle Scout?
He signed.
He's also a Rhodes Scholar, so you can't trust that motherfucker.
You never know, right?
Oh, man. Famous Eagle Scouts.
Well, it kind of makes sense that you developed this gallows humor. I don't know if you had it before, literally working in the gallows, but I don't know, man. I couldn't.
I never really I wasn't a kid who liked looking at faces of death or any of that shit. Like, I wasn't a gory guy, but you know, I would tell people about dead babies growing up. I'd be like, there's fucked up shit in the world, and no one wanted to listen to me. And so I'm sorry I don't cry when I have a dead baby in my hands, but you know, I care about this shit.
So the last episode of 108, man, you've been handling Tim Dillon's Going to Hell all by yourself. I couldn't do it because I suck on the mic as is, but you've been killing it, man. And you said something.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, if you guys don't know about it, gasdigitalnetwork.com.
God damn. Real quick before you get into this, look at the name of some of these assholes who are Eagle Scouts, right? Some real fucking assholes.
Give me the names.
All right. Here we go. Michael Bloomberg.
Oh. Bloomy, my boy.
Who else is there? There's a barber. I thought that was a chick. There's some real assholes. Hold on. Gerald Ford. Right?
He's great. He's a great man.
He's a great man.
He pardoned Nixon. He healed this country.
Okay. Good point, dude. Where's some more? Dude, I had some names. Jim Mora.
Who's that? The fuck is that?
Yeah. Playoffs? Playoffs? Are you talking about playoffs?
This is sports? I don't know. That's
Rick Perry. End the story. H. Ross Perot.
Hey.
Oh, Donald Rumsfeld.
Damn.
Jeff Sessions.
Jeff Sessions?
Yeah.
Shit.
I mean, dude, Sam Walton.
Hey, man.
Sam Walton.
These are powerful people.
John Tesh, pianist. I love they list with you. Steven Spielberg, diddler, allegedly. J.J. Pickle, that's only the cool name on here. It's crazy. Oswald Nelson.
Just saying names.
You know, I'm just saying names. Look at these people, all scumbags. I thought I was going to see Henry Kissinger on it. I was going to go fucking nuts.
I think Lee Harvey Oswald was an Eagle Scout.
Yeah, for sure, dude. For sure.
So at Skankfest, when we did our live podcast with you guys, was that the first time you guys ever podcast live? Because you guys had a serious followers.
We did one episode, not in front of an audience, but we did an episode live from a Pizza Hut lunch buffet. And we just, it was some of the darkest experiences of our lives. I mean, if you've never been there, it's just the human price and the toll that these people pay to get this fucking $8 buffet. These are some of the people in the lowest form part of their life. And it's really, really beautiful and sad.
You know what I do? I miss those Pizza Hut restaurants. They don't have them out here. They're just pickups. There's no, back in the day, my family would go to Pizza Hut and we hit the buffet, man. You get all the different kind of pizza, right? I used to love it.
Yeah. Those red cups.
If you're yelling the red cup, did you go to that? Do they still have that out there?
They still have them. They're really sad.
I love these coasts.
They're not good anymore. They used to be delicious.
Yeah, because nobody's going to them. So they're like, who cares? I love them, dude. And dude, if you like thin crust pizza, kiss a dick. That's all I got to say. Why would you want thinner pizza?
I love thin crust, dude.
You love thin crust over pan pizza?
Bust that dick out. I'm going to kiss that shit, dude.
Oh, he's back? Aaron, stuffed crust. Cheese? Do you like thick or thin crust?
I do prefer thin, yes, New York style.
What?
New York style. That's
Don't
right.
Don't get me wrong. I like it. But you ever see when you got the real thin, it's waif, thin pizza?
Yeah.
And you're eating just
You're talking about no gluten, some little vegan spot.
Yeah, I'm
in
over
LA.
That shit, man.
Yeah, no, that's not good.
I'm over it, dude. I'm over it, man.
I like a nice, I like a nice focaccia bread. That's what my style is.
What is focaccia bread? Why do I feel I didn't get the joke?
It's just that bread with the oil and the little bits of tomato.
Really,
it's nice. It's fucking like, a glass of wine.
I think I'm going to get pizza after this. decided that.
We're getting ourselves worked up.
All right, so keep going.
Yeah, man. So on your guys, what I like about Tim Dillon's Going to Hell, because I keep on telling people, I'm like, dude, we can live in an echo chamber where we're just nothing but conspiracy theorists telling each other about conspiracies, or you can widen your parameter and get some real shit. I like the way that you guys come at it with a real no holds bars. You'll be complex, but at the same time, somewhere in there, you'll hear something about a dildo farm. And so I'll be like, wait, what was that? Rewind.
Yeah, I like that, dude. I mean, some people want this to be like stray conspiracies, this show. And I get it to a point, but that's not the show. You know, you want that. Like, we have wonderful friends who do great shows like that. You know, Greg Carlwood. Our boys at the Conspiracy Farm.
Grimerica Show.
Grimerica Show.
Freeman Fly, which, call us, man. We want you on.
We want you on. This show's more about, like we always say, it's like conspiracies for dummies. Not that you guys are dummies, but it's like it's like your first venture in, and it's meant to be fun.
Yeah, would you say your guys' listeners are open to conspiracies? Or like, what would you say?
Yeah, I think they're usually more open than we are.
I've noticed.
You know, we try to keep things a little more like, so like, look, we have a lot of fun with, you know, a lot of the crazier theories, but we try to focus more on like the stuff that's verifiable, at least to a certain extent. You know, stuff like the CIA is declassified, and then we kind of extrapolate from there, like based on like what we know is real. You know, what else are these motherfuckers into? But like, we don't really get into the alien shit or like the, you know, the weirder, like the Rothschilds and the fucking lizard people. So like a lot of our listeners actually, I think, are clamoring more for the more aggressive, crazy stuff. And we're trying to keep like a, not like a, you know, we're still having a lot of fun with it, but trying to keep things a little more grounded and like in things you can actually affect and like, you know, and get a handle on, like in a real way.
No, I get that. I get that. That you are just, you know, it's like, what do you want? Like, people want us to do a 5G episode, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, once you get the information, what are you going to do with it? Like, right. If you know everywhere around you is going to be cooking your brain, what are you going to do with that info?
Use it. I'm telling other people. Tell other people. Sky is falling. I don't know. What can we do?
It's to me is an episode of like bliss. You know, ignorance is bliss.
Not to tell you about the 5G?
The 5G, it's like, what do you know? I mean, we'll do it. We'll do it. And we'll get everybody will be excited about it. But we'll do it. And then you'll be like, okay, now I know that. What am I going to do now?
Right. And reality is, like, with the Federal Reserve, for instance, like, a lot of people try to go, like, they go off in these crazy tangents about how it's like a Jewish conspiracy or it's like the Rothschilds and the fucking, like, you know, some deep underground cult. But in reality, if you look at stuff like Murray Rothbard, who was like an economist back in like the 50s and 60s, and like Ludwig von Mises in the Austrian school, like, they analyzed this stuff for years. That's where most of the conspiracy shit comes from, the real stuff. And like, the real story is much more fascinating to me. It's like, because it's really a story of like these rich families who are fucking each other over. Like, it doesn't have to be for like bloodlines and lizard shit. It's like just a bunch of fucking rich scumbags just using the government to like fucking throttle each other is more fascinating.
So
to
you
me,
think
there's much more complexity to it?
You think there's like a bloodline wars, like Rothschilds going up against the Rockefellers and stuff like that? Or do you think they're all working
in a way? Not bloodlines, but I mean, like, for the first 50 years of the Fed, it was basically the dominant was it was the Rockefellers versus the Morgans. So like, you know, like basically when they would all have their kind of political guys, they would try to get in, and you know, when they got in, they would use the powers of the Fed to kind of screw over the interests of the Morgans and vice versa. And you know, and like at the end of the day, they're both. But, you know, they're not screwing the system over. Like, the system is built to let the U.S. dollar be inflated. And not for any, like, you know, it doesn't have to be for some nefarious means. I mean, the fact that it's unstable is not like they want instability for its own sake. But, like, the easy expansion of currency allows for, like, a lot of people to make a lot of money. You know, a tremendous, like, trillions of dollars. And the people who get the money first from the Fed are the people who fucking, you know, are close to the government, have these ties. So, like, they don't feel the effects of the inflation. So you have a, you know, situation where it's like, you know, scumbags are getting rich off the back of fucking us, but it's not because like they want to fucking eat our asshole and use it as a fucking transmitter. You know, it's fucking real shit.
It's interesting, dude, because I think some of them do want to eat our assholes and use them as transmitters. I think
everyone wants to eat asshole. Don't get me wrong, but you know, there's a lot of reasons.
There's a lot of reasons. I think it's all about greed and power. I think that they've won so many battles that they're actually gone too far, and people are starting to wake up to it. You know, there's so much interesting stuff going on. AI, like the role of AI, where right. they think AI is going to take over all the jobs. Well, then who's going to pay taxes? How are they going to make money off of taxes? Who's going to buy stuff? How are they going to make money of us buying their shit if we don't have any money to buy shit?
Do you see us going to...
Well, at the end of the day, it's probably going to be... My thinking on that is just they're waiting for AI and robots to become more effective. And they'll probably just wipe like out 95% of the population. They won't need us anymore.
That's interesting.
How far down the road do you think that would be?
I don't know. 30, 40 years maybe. Maybe more. I mean, it's kind of like there's a finite amount of resources. There's a finite amount of land. And, you know, it's much like Hitler did with the fucking trying to take Russia so he can have his fucking people farming the land. They'll fucking carve out, like, they'll fucking nuke China for whatever pretense and then fucking use, well, nuke it, whatever. They'll fucking leak some sarin gas probably and fucking, we'll use that as our fucking vacation spot. Well, not us. I won't be a part of it. Neither will you probably.
Yeah, they'll kill us off by then.
Yeah, I mean, they'll let things kill us off. They'll, you know, we're on a fucking collision course with nature anyway. And, you know, there'll be some kind of epidemic, and they'll never prove it, but, you know, it'll benefit them. They're probably at the very least, they're counting on some kind of pandemic, some kind of, like, you know, shift, population shift, and they'll be the ones positioned to survive it.
Let me ask you something, dude. Do you think, you kind of brought up some stuff about them, you know, controlling everything, using different kind of weapons and stuff. And that's kind of what we wanted to get into on this podcast, even though we're a little deep into it. But you just like what they will go to do to control us, or they control the narrative, control the power, control the weaponry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, really, like the weapons are really the only competitive advantage we have left. I mean, yeah, we're a financial power, but really, if you think about like the amount of debt that like China holds, that even Russia holds, you know, that fucking Soviet, like the worldwide debt that like carries our burden, the only reason that like we're kind of allowed to like exist as this primary power anymore is because of our military. I mean, it dwarfs the next 20 combined militaries of the world combined, and those guys are all allies. I mean, like, it's our primary export. It's our we're basically the policemen of the world, which is why I don't see why I can't see why Trump wants like NATO to like take up more of the slack. Like, that's our whole game. Like, if NATO takes up the slack, it weakens us. I mean, in the global sphere of it,
he just doesn't want to pay for everything. And I get what you're saying, because the bribery is how we control everybody. But what he's seeing is that all this money is going to all those different places. You know, that we're
right.
We're,
but we're paying the money, but I mean, we're paying that money. Like, that's the fee we're paying to be the global dominant force. Like, if we stop doing that, there's no reason for China not to be like, hey, we're going to call in our debts. I mean, they'll take a few years to do it gradually. But I mean, that's the only thing keeping everyone at bay. I believe that eventually we'll probably start a war with China on some pretense, because, you know, they're holding so much of our, like, trillions of dollars of our debt. You know, it's going to come to a point where, like, if we don't want to go through a hyperinflation, we're like, you know, we're going to fucking start a war. They've done it before.
For sure.
Well, shit, let's get into it. I mean, that was, if you guys want to get some real geopolitics and real, some intelligent view of it, check out Tim Dillon Is Going to Hell on the gasdigitalnetworks.com. But what we're going to get into today, which, you know, who better to do this with, right? So on July 17th, 1996, TWA 800, a Boeing 747, was scheduled for international passage flight from New York to Rome, Italy, with a stopover in Paris, France. 12 minutes after the takeoff from JFK, it exploded and then crashed into the Atlantic Ocean. No survivors, killing all 230. The probable cause for the TWA flight was an explosion of flammable fuel air vapors in the fuel tank, most likely from a short circuit. That's the official story. But the unofficial, you want to fill us in, Ray? What's your feelings on all the TWA 100?
It's a goddamn missile. 100%.
Walk me through your idea.
It's a classic case of the FBI getting involved with shit and muddying the fucking waters. First of all, the FBI is the most corrupt organization. Like they're involved in the Boston bombing. They're involved in the fucking the nightclub shooting in Florida. They're involved in the fucking the fucking First World Trade Center. These motherfuckers got their hands in everything. I'm not saying they're behind everything, but they had the fucking 9/11 hijackers like under like a guy living with them in the year before 9/11. Like they always have the fucking everyone's always an informant of theirs or someone they were trying to fucking trap. Like so it's fucking so what they did here basically. I mean, if you look at what the reports of a lot of the NTSB investigators, the FBI across the board covered up evidence. They fucking moved evidence. Like, there's case like the idea is that they basically from the top down wanted to call this thing a mechanical error. I mean, the way they describe it happening is that like the plane because people look. First of all, I'm from Long Island. The morgue that I worked at is actually the morgue where all these bodies went to.
Oh,
I know a lot of the guys who investigated this.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. Holy a lot of those guys, if you watch shit. That 9/11 documentary, the TWA 100 documentary, that medical examiner, like I know, like I've met those guys. I know some of them I know well. So like, and like even without the ferry, I remember like I used to work with one of the photographers was this big deaf guy. And he was telling me how like he was showing me x-rays once from TWA 100 of just people with crabs inside their head, giant crabs. It doesn't matter. It's just fucking weird.
What?
Yeah. Like a crab had like gotten into its skull, so the X-ray is just a giant like instead of a brain, it's like a fucking giant crab. But whatever, that's just fun. But
that's
Yeah, well, I thought it was enjoyable. But you know,
were you there when it happened, or is this way before your time?
Oh no, I was a kid when it happened.
Okay. Oh my God, man! Imagine opening a skull and finding a crab.
Well, I was taken off from JFK when we were leaving New York, and that was the first thought in my brain. I was like. TW-800. Why did I think of that? Like this is where I'm gonna explode right now.
So the flight takes off, and this is in 1996,
right? And just 12 tons of fucking of people on the beach. I mean, this happened at like 8:30 at night in the summer. So like, there's just dozens, if not hundreds, of people who saw a missile go up to the plane, and
the FBI tries
to say that basically that the plane is kind of like the nose breaks off. And then the plane ascends like hundreds or thousands of feet in the air after that. And people saw that going up before it blew up, which is just physically impossible. I mean, like, there's a multitude of aviation experts, engineers who show how it's impossible for it to do that. That is, it either would have stalled or would have fucking, just completely broken apart from the fucking G-forces and the aerodynamics. But really, what the FBI did was just fucking take the evidence. Like there's cases where like basically the investigators would find a piece of a hunk of material with like holes in it that would like indicate some kind of explosive damage, and they would bring it to the FBI. They had this Aegis machine that would like test nitrates, and they would fucking bring it to the little mini lab they had in the fucking hangar where they set up, and this guy came to me and he gave it the little fucking thing. He's like, hey, can you test this? He's like, sure. And I'm like, oh, it's a positive. And then they make a phone call, and then within a minute, three guys, FBI guys, are surrounding this guy, saying like, there's a lot of false positives. This is a fucking and like it's not true. This machine is incredibly accurate.
Well, we've seen,
but that's just an example. But
of course,
stuff like that across the board.
Yes, we've seen that in the Vegas shooting where the FBI was right behind the guy. Given the press conference, the sheriff, and somebody asked a question about a car, and you specifically hear somebody behind the sheriff going, don't go there, the controlling of the narrative. So I'm just trying to get the specifics of this whole situation. So the flight takes off, and then who do you think shot it down, and why would they shoot it down?
I mean, that gets a little murkier. I mean, if you want to go real...
Like your thoughts, why?
Let's go deep.
Well, if you want, I mean, like, some people think Mossad did it to fucking trigger, like, a fucking, to pretend like an Arab attack so that we would kind of basically do what we did after 9/11.
Which happens a lot. It happens a lot. Mossad is behind a lot of shady shit that goes on in this country. The people, if they actually knew about it, they would go nuts.
Right. I mean, look, I don't want to come off. Look, they're a very effective organization. I love the Jewish people, but you know, they're good at what they do, and they don't have a lot of scruples about, you know, spy shit. Neither do we. But well, they're a small, dude, you know, they're a smaller crew.
The religion of Jewish and the government decisions of the right wing of Israel and Mossad are two totally different things. Okay.
Right.
I mean, that's just where political correctness is, that game, that mental warfare has worked so much that if you criticize a department of the Israeli government, you are somehow condemning the Jewish religion, which makes no fucking sense at all. It makes no sense at all. People,
well, it doesn't make sense, but to be fair, a lot of like conspiracy theory, and this is kind of the problem, is rooted, I mean, not rooted, but it flirts with anti-Semitism. So you want to be careful.
No, because
not
it's
to, like,
pushed yeah. as that. And the people at the top do that on purpose, so there's no discussion of it. Do you understand
sure.
what I'm saying? It's like,
no, totally,
it's yeah. when, like, here's a great example. It's when Trump goes after LeBron, and then every you know, person in the hood gets offended because they think LeBron represents them, whereas LeBron is this billionaire player. It's identity politics. And that's what LeBron has done. He's cultivated this thing where if you pick on him, you pick on the black community, and it's just one individual doing something. So you see the same thing where it's like, if you bring up Mossad, people start yelling at you about anti-Semitism. And it's not. It is like, that's like saying, if I hate Dick Cheney, I hate America. I don't hate America. I hate Dick Cheney. I wish he would fucking die, you know? He's a piece of shit. He's brought a lot of pain to this
sure.
country. It doesn't mean if I don't like the neocons or the neoliberals, doesn't mean I don't like America. But that's what we get in identity politics. You know? So when you question Mossad and go, hey man, there's some amazing videos that break down the 40 fucking Israeli art students and picture they took in the World Trade Center to the point where it shows them putting in fucking dynamite and explosives, and then you see all the explosives happening in the building, then you're like, okay, what's going on here? Why does that have to do with anything about my girlfriend's Jewish? I love Jews. I love her whole family, man. It's this armed part of this fucking government that has nothing to do with the religion that perpetrated this, allegedly, okay? So, I mean, it's like that's where we're getting. So we can have a discussion while I have to make disclaimers on our views on a certain particular religion.
Sure, and I love the Mossad. I mean, not everything they've done, but they've done some great. Look, getting Eichmann, you know, back in the 50s, and fucking Eli Cohen infiltrating Syria. They've done some great work. So,
yeah,
whatever.
I mean, the
you
CIA's know, done some great shit too. But it's like, you yeah. know, there's some dark. There's some dark parts of all these organizations. Not everybody at the FBI is as corrupt as you were saying. Not everybody at the CIA is as corrupt as you were saying. And not everybody at the Mossad is super corrupt. But there are dark arts people involved that carry out dark missions. It's just the way it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. But, yeah, and that being said, I mean, like, that's only one working theory. I mean, the real, you know, the meat of it is the idea that, like, it's definitely not the way that the FBI is trying to make it out to be of it falling apart. It could have been – some people think it was a Navy exercise where they accidentally shot it down because, you know, they were testing out anti-aircraft missiles. Some people think it was actually like, you know – some people think it was Osama bin Laden had an al-Qaeda attack. There's also another possibility.
Well, that's then, you know, not a possibility. It's not.
Well, I mean
– that's not. Think,
well, I mean –
it's not. Just like 9/11 wasn't, you know? I mean, like, if they did do it, it was us allowing them to do it, just like 9/11.
Well, I was going to say, whether or not he works for us, he's still a guy. He still existed.
Well, I mean, these things happen because we allowed them to happen.
Sure. Well, for the moment, no, I totally, yeah, look, absolutely. That's
I mean,
a big
we fund them.
But
we fund them. We fund them.
Oh, yeah, no, we absolutely funded them. We funded them. Against the Russians, we fucking, you know, even the normal story, the story is not nefarious. It's like, yeah, oh, we gave these guys billions of dollars and fucking and armed them to the teeth, and then we just let them fucking chill out after the fucking they took the Russians down. There is no fucking either way, it's fucked up.
What do you think about the idea that maybe a meteorite hit it?
I think that is, I mean, dude. I mean, look at Randy Johnson. He pitched the ball and a bird flew right and got hit. I mean, like, it could happen, but the odds of it happening is so astronomical
Isn't that the great?
I mean, the amount of people who saw a fucking, you know, a spark of light. I mean, and these weren't just idiots. This is the same thing of 9/11. People try to say, oh, what does the average person know? But I mean, like, and then with 9/11, it was like they're shitting on fire, like these firefighters who were saying they heard explosions.
Yeah.
And it's like, excuse me, who the fuck is more qualified to identify an explosion in a New York City building than a fucking FDNY firefighter? But they make them all sound like they're idiots. And they fucking, he's like, hey, these bros, these fucking, you know, these Guidos and stuff. Like, there's a stereotype about like blue collar people. And the same thing, like these people who are on the water, yeah, some of them are on the beach, but there's a lot of fucking, there's Navy guys, there's fucking, you know, fishermen who've been on the fucking water for fucking 50 years, there's fucking engineers. I mean, there's all sorts of people who fucking saw a goddamn missile or what looked like a missile flying up to the plane. So, I mean, I don't think it's a meteorite for that reason, but yeah.
I do. I agree, Matt. I mean, like every one of these plane explosions, like the one that in that was going over what, the Ukraine? That they thought was a Russian warplane. It ends up being like just like a Malaysian airplane. Boom, gets hit again. I mean, Malaysia had like a bad year, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, all those planes were going down in Malaysia. I mean, yeah, dude, all this stuff to me is there's a purpose to it. You know, it's like we just had something where NATO accidentally released a missile that was flown into Russian territory. Accidentally, you know, I mean,
right.
It's just like, I think all this stuff is purposeful, done to, for mental warfare.
Well, yeah, because on 9/11, with it 5 years later, not a single fucking of the four planes even gets close to getting taken down. So like, you know, where's these accidental, you know, like if we had some kind of actual infrastructure of anti-aircraft missiles, where the fuck were they? Why weren't they, weren't they in effect there?
Look at what just happened in Seattle, man. That guy steals a plane. Those jet fighters are on him within 2 minutes. You know?
Right.
On 9/11, guess who takes over NORAD? We talked about it on this podcast before. Dick Cheney takes it over six months before 9/11, tells him to stand down and go fly. Literally tell him to go into the ocean.
Right.
Where were you that day, Ray? I always ask New Yorkers. It's kind of like a Texan in 1960s, you know? You want to know if they were there.
It was like it was my first day or second day of college. I was going to Hofstra. I was actually when the moment it happened, I was watching Dr. Strangelove, and which is like a movie about like this guy who hijacks a plane. So it was kind of weird, but you know, it's just a little anecdote. But it was a weird day for me. It was a weird day. I mean, I was an aspiring photographer at the time, so my parents convinced me to drive over to, like, people were giving blood, just makeshift blood bank. So they convinced me to drive over there and do some like photojournalism. So I was just creeping people out, taking their picture while they were giving blood, and I just did nothing with the pictures. So
where
that was my
those
hero
pictures
story.
Now? Where are your pictures now?
I probably have them. I should go find them and do like a little memorial fucking service.
Yeah, for sure. Now, do you got any other plane ideas? Or is it,
let's get into the Malaysia. Do you know anything about the Malaysian Airlines, the one, the 370? Is that what it
I know? I don't. It's not my biggest point of expertise, but I know that recently the prime minister has come out and he's claimed that basically it was taken over by like a drone. Like basically, the planes have these ability to be, you know, operated like drones the way we, you know, do drone strikes. Supposedly, those functionalities were taken out because of the, you know, the idea that terrorists could just kind of, you know, hack in and do it. But this the Malaysian prime minister, he was the prime minister, he's trying to get back into office. He's 96, so he's probably pretty sharp as a tack. But you know, this guy thinks that, you know, it was just remote control taking over. I mean, you know, the oceans, I don't even know what do you know what the prevailing like conspiracy theory is for that one?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, for sure. I know what it is, man. It's so interesting. Okay. So supposedly on this plane, here it is, right? That there is a bunch of scientists who own a patent to a freescale semiconductor patent, okay? Which basically cloaks an object so sonar and radar can't see it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come up on the thing. It would basically makes these planes invisible to any detection. On this plane is four out of the five patent holders, right? So, the guys who invented this, and the patent is about to go through, okay?
Okay.
So these guys get on the plane, and the plane disappears. The only guy not on the plane that owns a patent is the one and only Rothschilds.
Jacob.
Jacob Rothschild is the...
Wait, you're telling me Jacob Rothschild owned, was one of the patent owners?
Was one of the fifth patent owner. And that because the patent hadn't completely gone through yet, the patent doesn't go to their families. It only goes to the last patent person, and that is Jacob Rothschild.
Well, he clearly did it then. Yeah, of course.
Mystery solved.
Right. Yeah.
Mystery solved. So, yeah, dude, all of them got out. I mean, if you're dealing with a Rothschild, would you ever travel together? Dude, if you and I had a patent on something and we were hanging out with Jacob Rothschild and it looks like Smithers or whatever his name is, right? Mr. Smithers. What's his name for the? Yeah. So you look like him. Would you ever travel together? Be like, you take Greyhound, I'll take Amtrak, and I'll meet you in New York for the show. Because if we drive together, he's going to try to take us out.
No, I would handcuff myself to the Rothschild.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, good luck on that. You want to hang out with a lizard person?
I like licking things.
Now, have you ever heard that's the exact same story with the Titanic?
Someone told me recently that that there's people on the Titanic who were opposed to the Federal Reserve.
Yes, correct. Dude. To the richest families out there.
The richest families out there were the ones who were supporting the Fed. They invented the Federal Reserve System.
Yeah, but
on Jekyll Island.
Not everybody plays ball, because you know it's like we were talking on the last episode we talked about who killed Jesus. It was the bankers. Mm-hmm. Why the bankers? They were, because they were charging interest, and he didn't want them to charge interest, so they got the Catholics or the Romans to kill Jesus. So not everybody is behind what am I talking about? Not everybody is behind charging interest on money, and that's all the Federal Reserve is charging interest.
Yeah, well, look, people were charging interest way before the Fed. I mean, these banks were charging interest. The fractional reserve banking system didn't start with the Federal Reserve.
But
I mean, we had two central banks before.
It is
that.
Ran through centralized banks.
With that?
It is ran through centralized bank. The centralized bank, the U.S. centralized Federal Reserve, allows people in America to do fractional reserve banking, which is for every $1 you have in the bank, you can loan out $10.
Well, that's not what allows it. I mean, basically, the Federal Reserve, that's been going on since at least the 1700s. Really, it goes back to the gold warehouses in Florence. But I mean, the idea is that, like, you
Black
know, we had
nobility,
two central banks.
Is that what you're talking about?
There was opposition, but I mean, you had regional banks or smaller banks, and they'd have their banknotes. And what the thing is this: the thing is that you have they were engaging in fractional reserve banking, and it was risky. And basically, so if there was some kind of, you know, economic downturn or word got out for some reason, there'd be a run on the bank and people would demand their deposits. And, you know, of course, they can't meet all the deposits, so the bank goes under. So that's a kind of natural check against, you know, a super overexpansion of the currency. Now, what the Federal Reserve allows them to do is to basically pool all that together, pool all of those fucking banks together, so that there is no more risk on.
Oh. And
Ray, you still there?
Ray. Oh, dude.
Apple One.
There we are. You just cut out. So say that real quick.
Sorry, I lost you a second. What was that?
Oh, you just cut out. There you go. And you're frozen. There you are. Now you're back. Yeah. Now you're back. Cool. State what you just said one more time.
The whole thing about the fractional reserve banking?
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, you had fractional reserve banks. Like, all these banks were lending out way more than they took in deposits, you know, but what happened was, when you had an economic downturn, when you had or it just, like, word got out or whatever, you know, or, you know, people saw what investments you were making and they were risky investments. So people would start to panic and you'd have a run on the bank. People would demand their deposits back, and you can only, you know, of course they couldn't meet all the deposit demand. So they would go under, they would go bankrupt. So what the Fed allowed them to do was to, It was a cushion on that. Basically, it removes all these different, you know, Capital One has their own thing and Chase has their own thing. It allows them to basically, we have one U.S. dollar, so there's no one else to go to. So we can all inflate the currency without any risk of a run in the bank. So you had two central banks before this. You had the First Bank of America and the Second Bank of America.
Yeah,
Andrew Jackson, famously, went to battle with the second one. Yeah. So it's not.
And Lincoln paid for it for the first one. They replaced him with a guy who was pro Federal Reserve. This guy Benjamin
Guggenheim.
Guggenheim. Isa Strauss and Jacob Astor were all rich billionaires who were on this thing that were opposed to the Federal Reserve. All three died on that boat.
Mm-hmm. They're always left out of the names on the bankers who actually developed the Federal Reserve on Jekyll Island. They only talk about the six men, and they always leave off these three dudes.
Who are, oh, these guys?
Mm-hmm.
They created it?
So they had a meeting with all the bankers on Jekyll Island to create the Federal Reserve. Those that opposed were these three gentlemen. So the six that were on board are the ones that are always written in history, talking about November 10th, six men, Nelson Aldrich, Piet Andrew, Henry Davidson, Arthur Shelton.
Warburg.
Yeah, Warburg and Vanderlip. But they leave off these three gentlemen, Guggenheim, which is when you think of the museum and whatnot. And all that. So it's interesting. Yeah, these three dudes would be worth at that $11 billion, but even more so. I mean,
like, sit back and think about what people have thought that the Rothschilds have done. Sank the Titanic. The blowing up the ship. I mean, sit back and think about, like, the rumor is that Hitler was a Rothschild. His grandfather was Baron Rothschild. His father changed his last name to Hitler later on, and that's how he got Hitler. Now, Hitler, if we think about every single leader of anything and how they're picked, not elected, why would Hitler be any different? And then, Hitler does his thing. He storms through all of Europe, blah, 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 taking out everybody. And right before he dies, boom, they slip him out to Argentina, right? and then the Russians grab a body. They test the body. It's a female. It doesn't even make any sense. And, because they all play ball. Oligarchies help oligarchies. And then the theory is that, you listen to basically Jacob Rothschild himself say basically, World War II was to get Israel. It's just like you check all that stuff off. It's like crazy, dude. I mean, like these.
Sure. I mean, look, it's definitely possible. I mean, you would think that, the Carnegies and the Rockefellers and the Morgans were behind the Fed. So, like, the reason I doubt it is, like, they fucking had, those guys dwarfed Carnegie at that point. Not Carnegie, Guggenheim and Astor. I mean, like, those guys were rich, but I mean, the dominant, it's definitely possible. Look, dude, it's not the same way I viewed 9/11 for a long time. I never doubted that they would do it. I just didn't know if they did or not. But, I wouldn't put it past the Rothschilds or these, for that matter, the Morgans and the Rockefellers to, fucking act some fucking, rich fucks on a boat. But, what's the idea? They just purposely drove into a fucking iceberg?
Well, that's the story. That's an iceberg. How do you know that's really what really happened?
They think it exploded and down in the engine room.
Of course, dude.
It, just basically split
that
in half.
That boat was built to be hit a berg and survive. Just like the World War, just like the World Trade Centers were meant to get hit by planes, or to survive getting hit by planes. I mean, dude, come on.
So you don't believe the official narrative of 9/11, Ray?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, if Vigilant Guardian is enough to not believe, the idea is a war game simulating planes being hijacked and flown into buildings, utilizing at least the entire eastern half of the fucking all the Air Force, all the fucking Navy planes, the morning of the attack. I mean. And I read the 9/11 report when it came out. Like I Audible, audible.com, they gave me a free copy of it. So I'm listening to it on audiobook, and they get to the part about Vigilant Guardian, this war game. You guys are talking about that, I'm sure.
No.
And the fucking,
no, what is it?
All right. So on the morning of 9/11, there's a gigantic war game involving the entire Eastern Command, NORAD. Like, this is a big part of why no jets were scrambled to intercept these planes with any meaningful amount of time, because basically they were using this massive war game, simulating a bunch of scenarios, some of which were planes being hijacked and flown to the Empire State Building.
Yep. That's basically always run drills before every false flag. We've talked about that before. They did it in Parkland. They did it in Vegas shooting. All that stuff. I can't wait to do Aaron thoughts on this episode. This is going to be great.
Demonstrated, not just that, like, it's there as a cover, but, like, it completely depleted the resources. Like, all these planes had to be regassed. You know, they couldn't be scrambled in time. And, like, you know, the idea that it's just a coincidence is when, like, you fucking go to Hawaii and you fucking meet someone else from Long Island or wherever you're from. Like, that's a coincidence. Yeah,
that's true.
This is something else. This is like, you know, if it's not a nefarious thing, you better fucking explain it in any meaningful way. But you read the 9/11 report and they get to this thing and they kind of talk about it for a little bit and like, oh, they're all, like, they seem to think it's weird. But at the end, there's a little paragraph at the end and go, yeah, at the end of this chapter, yeah, we think this might have led to some confusion on the day. You think?
Like, yeah.
Some confusion?
Especially like, when the Dick fact Cheney's that they didn't in investigate it
further
everything.
Is just is the biggest piece of evidence to me.
Nope, I agree with you, dude. I wholeheartedly agree with you, dude. 100%.
Well, since most of our listeners are conspiracy theorists, and we like to try to get some new sources of information, like where do you get your what websites and news spots? Where do we get some good info?
You can check as far as new stuff. I tend to go off of. Yeah, you just kind of browse Reddit. I'm not the guy who's on top of every new thing. I'll be honest with you.
No, come on.
I try to go. Huh? What's that?
Nothing. Go on.
No, but you can check out the works of Murray Rothbard, and Ludwig von Mises. As far as like to learn more about kind of the way the financial history of this country has been kind of really distorted. And it's not just like the Federal Reserve, but the adoption of Keynesianism and like, John Maynard Keynes and like, the manipulation of just like, the constant, the deficit spending and all that. There's a great book called The Pentagon Wars. You can read it's about the corruption in the Pentagon and how like the bureaucratic nexus of like of spending that goes on there, which is a little more like it could be more nefarious. I mean, I'm open to the Rothschilds just doing it, just coming all over the world and spitting fucking piss on people, but some of his stuff is a little more just people fucking trying to get a buck or two or a trillion. The fucking Pentagon budget is like 700 billion a year. They fucking between 2001 and 2005, they lost $5 trillion. They can't even account for it. So the amount of money. Let's be people like want to talk about like, well, it can't just be about money. We're talking about trillions of dollars. I mean, well, do you know that's
a big thing that they're saying this on them raiding the Clinton Foundation's headquarters in Arkansas?
When do they do that?
They did that last week. Twice they've been there. FBI plane 747s. Flew to Arkansas, and they basically have been trying to find if they started taking boxes full of documents, man. And the word is they're trying to find out what happened to the $21 trillion that's missing.
$21 trillion from where?
From
the foundation?
From the government.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I'm not a Trump fan. I can't think of a more corrupt fucking family than that, though. Like fucking, Hillary and they're in. We talked about it before in the last one, but like the fucking the drug connections, the murders. You couldn't have asked for a worse opponent for fucking anyone. I mean, these people are just involved in so much, just like to be that peripherally connected to like so much shady shit and pretend like none of it's sticking. Fuck, there's. There's some real shit going on there.
Yeah, it's annoying. And for people just to believe it's all paranoid, that people are just going after the Clintons because they hate Democrats, is just stupid. Are you a right or a left? I'm down the middle. I don't have a side. What do you have?
Yeah, if anything, I'm an anarchist.
Oh, fellow Eagle Scout and fellow anarchist.
Fire.
Yeah. We're both disillusioned Eagle Scouts. But, you know, look, it doesn't have to be a Democrat. Like, we talk a lot. We've had a guy named Russ Baker on our show a few times. He wrote a book called Family of Secrets, which is about George, mostly about George Bush Sr., President Bush. And the amount of shit he's involved with. I mean, this guy, Baker, you know, serious journalist, is a very cogent book, and he ties it. He's connected to the Kennedy assassination, to fucking to at least a certain extent framing Nixon for Watergate. I mean, there's all sorts of shit. This guy was supposedly only in the CIA in the 70s when he was leading it, but like they tracing back to the 50s. This guy, you know, like, so I mean, look, this is definitely not like, oh, just like anti-Clinton propaganda. I mean, there's shit. When you get to the level of these families, it's not about politics anymore. It's about, you know, them making their fucking fortunes and kind of carving out their, you know, power base in the world.
Dude, George Bush wiped the Kennedy political family off the map. He wiped them off the map and replaced them with his family and the Clintons. Like, he wiped them. He tried to take out Reagan. If you think about it, he was the vice president of Reagan. His family was... They were close with the Hinckleys. The Hinckleys are all the oil money from Texas.
Hinckley that night, the family.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good.
Neil Bush.
Yeah. We live in crazy times, but now it's time for everyone's favorite part of the show. It should be
Aaron.
Don't be an idiot.
Hey, Aaron. Well, you better be sick, dead, or mute, Aaron. You done messed up, Aaron.
You filthy animal.
Aaron, thoughts.
What happened in the days where we just talked about Sasquatch?
Jeez. We're going to bring it back, dude.
It's so insane. We go from Eagle Scouts to the Clintons. I mean, there's just no way.
But hold on, let me ask you something. are you one of those people that think the Clintons are good people still?
No.
Okay, so we've done our work here. We're slowly...
I was not going to vote for her. I did because Trump is a shitheel.
So you took the more of two evils.
Yeah.
The more of two evils?
Well, no.
Yes.
I took a bite of the turd sandwich.
Okay. Yeah. I respect that.
Yeah, yeah.
Ray, we appreciate you, your passion, your insight, your refusal to admit that the Rothschilds are behind everything evil in the world.
Or reptilians.
You don't want to see reptilians, even though...
We'll get you on our side eventually, man.
Yeah.
I'm still on the fence. I'm open-minded.
Okay, dude. Well, everybody, please check out...
Tim Dillon's
going to hell on the Gas Digital Network. Mm-hmm. Check out the live tinfoil hat from Skankfest, and you can hear Ray dropping truth bombs on all those unsuspecting fools. Ray, we appreciate you coming on. We'd love to have you do again.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right, bud. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Hell yeah.
Great show. Ryan, a lot of fun.
Hell yeah.
Thank you so much, and we'll do it again soon. We hope you enjoyed these weeks. Episodes, and we got two great ones coming up. We have Randall the Honey Badger coming in, and then after that we got Magnora 7 or the other way around. Woo. One or the other. So
get those tickets, they're going quick. September 5th
and September 14th, 15th, Canada. Holla at your boy.